Text 211.
It was an ordinary bus trip, with crying babies and hot sun and country folk getting on at one Penn town after another, till we got on the plain of Ohio and really rolled, up by Ashtabula, and straight across Indiana in the night. I arrived in Chi quite early in the morning, got a room at the Y, and went to bed, with a very few dollars in my pocket. I dug Chicago after a good day's sleep. The wind from Lake Michigan, bop at the loop, long walks around South Halstead and North Clark, and one long walk after midnight into the jungles where a cruising car followed me as a suspicious character. At this time, 1947, bop was going like mad all over America. The fellows at the loop blew, but with a tired air, because bop was somewhere between its Charlie Parker ornithology period and another period that began with Miles Davis. And as I sat there listening to that sound of the light which bop has come to represent for all of us, I thought of all my friends from one end of the country to the other, and how they were really all in the same vast backyard, doing something so frantic and rushing about. And for the first time in my life, the following afternoon, I went into the West. It was a warm and beautiful day for hitchhiking. To get out of the impossible complexities of Chicago traffic, I took a bus to Joliet, Illinois, went by the Joliet Pen, stationed myself just outside town after a walk through its leafy, rickety streets behind, and pointed my way. All the way from New York to Joliet by bus, and I had spent more than half my money. My first ride was a dynamite truck with a red flag, about 30 miles into Great Green, Illinois. The truck driver pointing out the place where Route 6, which we were on, intersects Route 66 before they both shoot west for incredible distances. Along about 3 in the afternoon, after an apple pie and ice cream and a roadside stand, a woman stopped for me in a little coupe. I had a twinge of hard joy as I ran after the car. But she was a middle-aged woman, actually the mother of sons of my age, and wanted somebody to help her drive to Iowa. I was all for it. Iowa! Not so far from Denver. And once I got to Denver, I could relax. She drove the first few hours, at one point insisted on visiting an old church somewhere, as if we were tourists, and then I took over the wheel. And though I'm not much of a driver, drove clear through the rest of Illinois to Davenport, Iowa, via Rock Island. And here, for the first time in my life, I saw my beloved Mississippi River, dry in the summer haze, low water, with its big rank smell that smells like the raw body of America itself, because it washes it up. Rock Island Railroad tracks, shacks, small downtown section, and over the bridge to Davenport. Same kind of town, all smelling of sawdust in the warm Midwest sun. Here the lady had to go on to her Iowa hometown by another route, and I got out. The sun was going down. I walked, after a few cold beers, to the edge of town, and it was a long walk. All the men were driving home from work, wearing railroad hats, baseball hats, all kinds of hats, just like after work in any town anywhere. One of them gave me a ride up the hill and left me at a lonely crossroads on the edge of the prairie. It was beautiful there. The only cars that came by were farmer cars. They gave me suspicious looks. They clanked along. The cows were coming home. Not a truck. A few cars zipped by. A hot rod kid came by with his scarf flying. The sun went all the way down, and I was standing in the purple darkness. Now I was scared. There weren't even any lights in the Iowa countryside. In a minute, nobody would be able to see me. Luckily, a man going back to Davenport gave me a lift downtown. But I was right where I started from.